Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Aman.
And this is Grounded Geeks.
Welcome, everyone.
All right. So, Aman, today we are talking about
WandaVision. Oh, I went too soon.
You went too soon. I was doing a drum roll. What the hell?
I didn't realize you were doing a drum roll.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah. So, fine, whatever. WandaVision, what did you think of the entire series in general?
I loved it. I feel like it gave the MCU a depth that it didn't have purely based on the movies.
Yes.
And I think there's a big importance to doing that. These different mediums, movies, TV shows, miniseries, they serve different purposes because they have different styles of storytelling. That's why I always hate it when they try to convert books into movies. It's just nonsense.
Well, no, that's fine. But I hate when people have the same expectations. Like they think they're going to get the same feelings from a book as they are from a movie. And that's just not the case.
Yeah. But what I was trying to say though, is that I feel like the movie medium, 2.5 hours, 3 hours tops for a movie, it's not a good format for converting a book into a movie. You got to rethink the whole thing. Whereas a TV show or a miniseries is a little bit closer to the storytelling pacing of a book.
Right.
So like that's why that always frustrates me. But
it depends on the whatever. Okay. But yeah, agree. I have so many thoughts on that. But I was going to say, I feel like all of society is also so much more into watching TV shows.
Yes.
Because it's like, what? I feel like I saw this meme somewhere that was like, you know, oh, a 2-hour movie? No, that's too long. But then it's like 5 hours later after binging the same show. Like that's what we're all into. But anyway, going back to WandaVision, I really, really liked the show. And it was the one MCU show that I was actually looking forward to the least, because I had only seen a couple teasers. In general, I stop watching the trailers as it gets closer and closer to a show's premiere, because I feel like they just give away too much. So I had only seen a few of the teasers and I was like, oh man, it's going to be on Disney Plus. It's going to be this like family friendly feel, you know, it's just going to be
like weird.
Yeah.
Like I didn't understand it. I didn't like from the trailers. I was like, what?
No one knew what the hell it was about. Even after the first two episodes, so many people I know were like, I couldn't keep watching. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And so I just thought it was going to be this corny, cheesy, weird thing that Marvel is trying on Disney Plus, you know,
and It ended up just being a mind fuck.
It was amazing. I think they should have released the first three episodes at the same time, though, because I think it was the third one where you are introduced to the FBI agent Jimmy Woo.
Episode four was the episode where you get actually introduced to Jimmy Woo and Monica Rambeau.
Oh, I thought that was episode three. Anyway,
no, that was episode four.
Yeah.
Because I just rewatched it.
Oh, okay. So, anywho, the show was very good. I loved that they decided to make this show basically an exploration of Wanda's grief and trauma.
Yes.
And because how could we just see all this shit happen to her in her life? She loses her parents. She loses her brother. She loses Vision. And I'm like, are you okay? You're not okay. Okay.
I mean, just watching the movies, you had an introduction, a bare bones introduction to Wanda in that post-credit scene. In which movie was it? I think it might have been in not the first Avengers. Oh, Winter Soldier.
Where they introduce you to Wanda,
Wanda's doing the weird things with like building blocks.
Pietro's just like running back and forth.
Yeah. Or like spazzing back and forth.
Yeah.
I guess he was still adjusting to his powers. But then the next introduction was Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. All right. And you've got all of this anger towards the Avengers.
Yeah.
Both she and Pietro have this moment where they're like, oh, Ultron wants to actually destroy all of humanity and create an extinction level event, mm-hmm. you know, dinosaur extinction style. All right, that's messed up. Let's stop him. But then the next step was Wanda in Captain America Civil War, where she's doing Avengers-y stuff, but it's basically like special ops taking out bad guys. And it's like, what? How are you so cool?
Yeah.
Right now. Like, you lost your brother. And yeah. before that, you were like deep in the hate, yeah. you know, yeah. deep in the haterade against Tony Stark and the Avengers and everybody. And it's like, it just felt like a very abrupt transition. Mm-hmm. And you just knew there's, you know, I think people chalked it up to like, comic books, everybody's fine all the yeah. time. Mm-hmm. But in reality, nobody goes through that kind of shit without being super messed up. And
yeah.
WandaVision was such an excellent, I'm so glad they took the opportunity to delve into real character development and real emotional yeah. journeys.
Yes. It's really, honestly, it is what the world needed. Like, hey, let's talk about our emotions, you know? I mean, dude, I read that they were originally going to start off their MCU shows on Disney
Plus with Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Exactly. Yeah. But because yeah. of the pandemic, they had to push that one back. And then they yeah. decided to do WandaVision first. And I think even Kevin Feige was like, I'm so glad we did that because it just seems to make yes. more sense.
I can see how logically they wanted to do Falcon and Winter Soldier first. So I haven't seen that first episode yet. It just launched. We will do for all of our audience out there, we yeah. will do an episode, but after the entire series yeah. is done. So don't worry, we will get to it, but I haven't seen it yet. But I think that originally Marvel wanted to release Falcon and the Winter Soldier first because it would be sort of an easier transition because people are used to MCU movies and right. MCU movie style.
Right.
And it yeah, would have true. Been it would have been an easing into the TV shows. But yeah. I think that WandaVision slapped and it was perfect because
yeah.
you need that abrupt, like, all right, we are doing something new, you know, yeah. made it super clear to everybody who watched WandaVision, like, yes, this is the MCU, but this mm-hmm. is new.
Yeah.
You should watch our shows on Disney Plus because it is new.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So WandaVision came out almost a year after the pandemic, after we went into lockdowns with this pandemic, you know?
Yeah, almost a year. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I just think it was like, it was just really, I really do think it was what the world needed. We needed to.
It was like therapy. It wasn't an escape. It wasn't an escape from all the difficulties that everyone has yeah. been going through during, you know, 2020.
Right.
It was more like therapy, a chance right. to view the difficulties that we've all gone through, some more than others, you know, mm-hmm. me being naturally an introvert, it's kind of worked out for me, but you know, there've been difficulties, yeah. there've been pain points
yeah.
as for everybody, some more than others,
yeah.
but if anything, WandaVision kind of acted like a mirror yeah. rather than an escape.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. And you know, everyone's favorite line, I would say, my argument.
Oh yeah.
From the entire series, which also I love that they did a flashback. They did a flashback to yes. when she was living in the Avengers house and Vision mm-hmm. was there. And they showed a little snippet of how they basically got close, right? And
yeah. I mean, they had a bit of that.
Wait, the line though was,
what is grief?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If not love enduring.
No, persevering. I'm not
persevering.
Even the line right. What is grief if not love persevering?
Yes.
It's a beautiful line.
It is a beautiful line.
It also sadly ended up as a meme too. And like people, anyway, whatever. It turned into a whole thing. But
I saw a tweet where somebody was like, to the writer who came up with that line, are yeah. you okay?
I know. I saw that too. I think we were all thinking that because we're all just like in tears. Because
I'm a man. I don't cry.
Man, you're so lame.
Whatever. Point I'm awesome. Is,
I think at the end, even when I was talking to friends about this show, especially the last few episodes of the entire season, so many people were just in tears.
Yeah.
Complete tears.
I mean, it was very, very well done. And even that flashback episode where they just showed a few snippets, those few snippets helped flesh out the snippet that was in Civil War, you know, where Vision is basically Wanda's parole officer. But, you know, they have that scene with the paprika or whatever.
Oh, and, yeah.
The thing is that that was like a brief scene that is supposed to indicate to the audience that there's a lot more going on and a lot more has happened. But it's just like we're supposed to infer a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas with WandaVision, we no longer need to assume that that's what happened. They added in enough into this flashback to show how Vision helped Wanda move on from the shit that she went through.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like in Civil War, it was like, yep, here I am in Lagos fighting tourists. All right. But the thing is, and then we were like, okay, cool. I guess you're okay. You just went through losing your brother, who's the only family you had, and you were volunteering for Hydra to do experiments on you because you were so pissed off. And I guess you're cool now. All right, that's cool. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
But this helped fill in a lot of gaps about how she became okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very good. And so I also really like how we touched a little bit on what it must have been like to be blipped and then come back 5 years later when they showed Monica.
It was so good.
And I think that's the first time, because when we watched Endgame, right, that was showing what was happening to the people who were left behind, who did not get blipped. Like we got a good, you know, like we saw Steve Rogers leading that counseling group type thing. We saw other aspects of it, you know, like it was talked about more. And I think this must have been sort of the first time where they really showed from someone who got blipped. It was jarring to see Monica come back and she's like, where's my mom? No, she was right here. She just got out of surgery or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And man, that's so, it was so sad. That was one of the saddest scenes actually.
That was, I mean, as many sad scenes as there were in WandaVision, most of those sad scenes had to do with Wanda processing her grief. But I really agree with you. That was one of the saddest scenes because that was not a manifestation of somebody's grief, you know, like with Wanda, that was like some real shit happening. Like, I mean, can you imagine you fall asleep, you wake up and all of a sudden people you know and love have passed away and you had no idea. And you all of a sudden, like literally it would have been like you took a nap, you woke up 5 years gone.
Exactly.
Like,
what? Yeah. Oh my God. That's crazy. I'm sure. I think they're going to explore that more in the other MCU shows.
Yeah.
I think they're going to explore that. You can't just be like, we're going to blip these people for 5 years. And do you know, Aman, when I watched Endgame, which sadly we could not watch it together in theaters, but when I watched it in theaters, and you know how they displayed it? Like they, in the beginning of Endgame, like they show Hawkeye with his family and then they show them disappearing. And then it's like, there's a fade out. The words come out one by one. They appear one by one on screen and it says 5 years
later. Yep.
My entire theater, because I went opening night, all collectively gasped when that showed up. We were like, oh, like I'm pretty sure I heard one woman be like, no, like it was so dramatic. Like, it was really funny, but I mean, not funny, but it was like horrifying.
Yeah. That came after they found Thanos and killed him. The 5 years
later. Yeah. The 5 years later happened after. Yes, that's true.
Which actually made it more dramatic because it meant that the heroes didn't win.
Yeah, they just...
That's why the gasp. Yeah. It's because of that realize. It wasn't just people blipping out. It was that the heroes of the movie went, did something.
Yeah.
I mean, first they lost in Infinity War. They lost hard. And then it was like, all right, you know, Endgame, they're going to come back. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
And then it was like, no, you really lost.
Yeah.
You really lost.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, that was the crazy part of it.
I also didn't think I thought, okay, at most they would blip them for like 5 months.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh shit, Marvel went there 5 years?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And there's so much impact from that. You like that in Spider-Man, they didn't explore any of it. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then WandaVision is when they really start to explore it, you know?
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Good on you.
Right. Exactly. So what do you think was the significance of the hexagon shape of whatever force field she created?
So when I first saw that, they were like, the hex. I was like, okay, they're just going back to comic book origins. Like originally when Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch, was introduced in the comics, she was a mutant, but also a witch. She was a witch,
yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. And she would cast hexes on people. Like shit would just break, like bad juju, hex, all right? Yeah. So I thought it was just kind of playing on that. But then I started reading articles. I was rewatching some of the old movies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I realized that this hexagon shape shows up in a lot of random places. Like in Guardians of the Galaxy is, I think, where it was most explicitly clear. The faster than light travel that they use quote unquote jump points,
mm-hmm.
all right? Where I guess there's a warp or a gateway or something, but every time a ship emerges from these faster than light jump points,
mm-hmm.
it's like they're breaking through a barrier, and that barrier is made out of hexagon shapes.
That's true.
You know, like a quilt. When I saw that after when I rewatched one of those old movies and it was after having seen WandaVision, I was like, wait a second, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then I feel like there was also something in Doctor Strange, but I can't think of it right now. But this
there must have been. There was definitely, I remember seeing that hexagon shape in Doctor Strange for sure. Like, I just don't remember where.
Yeah, I can't remember that right now. Right. I'll have to watch it again. But this hexagon shape shows up in multiple places. And then I started thinking about why a hexagon, mm-hmm. all right? I think they were playing off of, you know, Scarlet Witch's origins, mm-hmm. but I think they're trying to layer in more stuff because how can you not? And then I was thinking about it and I was like, hey, six Infinity Stones, six sides to a hexagon. Maybe there is something about a hexagon being sort of a fundamental shape for the universe because of the fact that there are six Infinity Stones.
That's
you know,
true.
Six sides to create a shape, which would be, you know, the universe.
I am really looking forward to the next Doctor Strange movie because clearly Wanda is going to be in it. They were definitely alluding to that with the second post-credit scene that a lot of people missed it. I had to tell a lot of people like, hey, there were two post-credit scenes in that finale. So especially with that one, with whatever, what's it called? It's called Astro something?
Astro projecting? She was
something, whatever it is. Yeah.
Astral.
She was doing
projection.
That shit. Yeah. So
I mean, I straight up got confused. I was like, what is happening? Because they show her walking around her little cabin, you know, Incredible Hulk style.
Yeah.
Which that's how the first Incredible Hulk movie ended, was post-credit scene where it's like exact same imagery. Camera zooms in across this wooded area and zooms in on a cabin. And then it zoomed in on Bruce Banner, which at the time was being played by Edward Norton.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's meditating in his cabin and then he opens his eyes and it's green.
And it's green. Right? Yeah. Oh, God.
And it changes Days Without Incident, X100. And then it's like countdown zero.
Oh,
shit. Eyes open and it's green. So I don't know if they were doing that intentionally, but it definitely brought that imagery because it felt like almost the exact same scene.
Yeah.
And
yeah. That's true.
I was like, all right. Marvel heroes like to escape to the woods, to cabins in the wood. All right.
Well, I mean, she literally destroyed, she was torturing people essentially in that town. And she clearly needed to get away.
I mean, that actually brings up something that I've been thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Something fundamental.
Okay.
In WandaVision, I'm convinced Wanda is the villain.
But she didn't know she was doing that. She accidentally did all that.
But then when she realized it, she hung on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm sorry, but like, she, in episode 5 of WandaVision, when they send a drone, Vision confronts her and says, "What are you doing to these people? You're keeping them trapped. What is the Maximoff anomaly?" And then they send a drone in and they're trying to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, Director Hayward of S.W.O.R.D., he did what he's supposed to do. He saw the threat and it's like, we got to eliminate the threat.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He did the right thing. And then she grabs the drone, comes out of the hex and tells him, "Leave me alone."
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And this is where we also,
at that point, she had kids and she had Vision and she couldn't let it go. It was really sad. I know.
It was really sad.
But it felt real to her.
It might have felt real to her, but they literally told her, "You've taken hostages." I mean, you and I both know that in a good story, especially a good versus evil story, the villain is a sympathetic character, right? This was the situation of Paradise Lost, where we are watching the story through the lens of the villain, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was to me. I think that that is the only way that this makes sense, where this story karmically makes sense, is where Wanda is the sympathetic villain. She has done something really, truly horrible for understandable and justifiable reasons, but she's the
still doing something horrible. Yeah, yeah.
She's the villain here. All right.
I also,
the fact that they had Hayward arrested at the end, like, I'm sorry, but like, he wasn't the bad guy. He was doing his job. Like, if we were in the real world,
he was still a dick. But yeah, okay.
You don't go to jail for being a dick.
I know, right? But if
you go to jail for absconding your responsibilities, being a traitor,
on your, or such a lawyer, such a lawyer.
All right. I'm just saying, all right. If this was happening in the real world, he's not going to jail. All right. I can tell you that much. He's did nothing illegal. He did nothing wrong. He may have done it incompetently. All right. Like, he definitely made moves. That's not smart. All right. She's reshaping reality. How about you not shoot first because you don't know what's going to happen?
Right.
All right. Like, he definitely did some dumb stuff, but he's not the bad guy. He's not the bad guy. He was doing his job, all right? And he was doing it to the best of his, you know, sadly wanting abilities, but...
But he literally just straight up shot at the kids. Not even, like, remember he just got out of his tank?
Imaginary...
Boom, 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 boom.
Imaginary superpowered kids who
Did
were
he
a
know,
threat.
Though? Did he know those were imaginary? Those could have been townsfolk children.
It could Peter. Well, I mean, they had
you didn't know,
they
right?
Had, they had a full list of everybody. They That's identified true. Every single person, you know, and found out who was playing what role. All right. But Fine. The thing is that they were zipping around, you know, with their powers. Like, they were a threat. They were a threat. And the thing is that is a, at the end of the day, like, no jury or court is going to be like, yeah, you should go to jail for doing your job. You did it poorly, but I mean, he's not going to jail. Like,
I don't think he's going to jail. He was just being led away.
I mean, they arrested him. The FBI had him in handcuffs and everything.
Oh,
like, I'm sorry. Like, the FBI doesn't just roll in and arrest the head of the CIA. That doesn't happen.
That's because, I don't know. Now I don't remember. Cause I really was not paying attention to Hayward. I was like, you're being an idiot. I don't like you. Please go away. So I feel like I need to rewatch.
But if I had one criticism of the show, is that they really tried way too hard to make Wanda seem like a good guy when the story didn't allow for it. And they tried too hard to make Hayward the bad guy. And it was a little unnatural.
Think they did
it
that.
Didn't flow with the story.
I don't agree with that. I don't think they were trying to make Hayward the bad guy, or I think they made him look like just this annoying idiot, really.
Yeah, but they tried to make him the bad guy with the A, making him shoot kids. All right.
Yeah, that's
in that specific kind of framing, like taking control of Vision. All right.
Yeah.
Like making vision.
That was weird and messed up though.
It was weird and messed up, but at the same time, he's worth multi-billions of dollars simply because he's made out of vibranium and a robot. He does not actually fall under any legal definitions of being a person. He is essentially
weapon. But at that point, you know, when Vision came to be at the end of Ultron, I feel like Tony Stark would have, I don't know, lined up some sort of paperwork that was like, okay, you are your own person now. You have your rights, blah, blah, blah. You're part of the team. He wouldn't have been considered property still. After so long of serving with the Avengers, blah, blah, blah. He was like a person then.
I mean, it would, quite frankly, it would take an act of Congress to declare Vision a person with rights.
We all know how annoying that's what Congress can be.
Yes, but that's what that would require. It would require.
Well, maybe Tony did that. Maybe Tony Stark did that. Am I okay?
Oh yeah, just like that in like a year or two, no problemo.
Yeah, I'm on. Okay, like that's what superheroes do, and that's
in light of the Sokovia Accords.
Yeah, I don't know. Anywho, wait, I felt like I was gonna say something and bring something up. Oh, so I do think in WandaVision I agree. She was basically a villain throughout the show.
Yes.
But she did not know for the majority. Okay. She didn't know for a while what was happening. Okay. Yes. Then she realized what was happening. She continued doing it. Not great. Okay. But she still didn't understand how she made it all happen, how she got everyone under mind until Agatha came along.
Yeah.
So
well played.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about Agatha because she was an awesome character.
She was amazing.
She was amazing. She was perfect casting. Perfect casting. Yep. And it was so interesting to see a flashback of Agatha back in whatever, like Salem Witch Trial time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really liked that too.
Loved that. I think there should be a whole spinoff just about that. I just love going into historical kind of things, but I thought that was fantastic.
I mean, she's
so interesting. And then she's the one who basically was like, you're a Scarlet Witch. And then we started learning, okay, what the fuck is a Scarlet Witch? You know, like, and
it's like a chaos magic user.
Yeah. So it was really interesting. So because honestly, before that, she wasn't referred to as a Scarlet Witch, right?
No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
Even in WandaVision, Hayward and Agent Wu have this little back and forth.
Yeah.
And he's like talking, they're going through Wanda's history, you know, giving a briefing to everyone. And Hayward turns to Wu and he's like, does she have any aliases? No, no silly name. No. Like they made it very clear. She has no aliases or nicknames or anything. Silly name.
I love it, man. Oh my God. Like, wait, can we just brief shout out to all the great characters? Agatha, Jimmy Wu.
Yep.
Okay. I love Darcy.
Yep.
I love Jimmy, Darcy, and Monica as a cute little trio figuring stuff out together. Yes. I love it.
Oh, they were fantastic.
And have you seen on Twitter? I think there was a whole movement to try to give Jimmy Woo his own spinoff show or something.
Jimmy Woo needs his own spinoff show. It would
Randall be Park the... is a national treasure. He's amazing. He's so good.
He is. And his magic.
Yeah.
I love how they carried that through from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
So good.
Yeah, all the way to this where, he learned the close-up magic. He did it.
It was amazing.
Good on you. Good on you, Wu.
So good on you.
He is a national treasure. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Now, lastly, the thing that we want to talk about is Vision in Wanda. Yeah. So who do you think White Vision is?
So...
Also, did they call him White Vision in the show, or is that just what the audience tweeted about and we decided to call him White Vision?
No, they called him White Vision in the comics.
Oh.
He has a comic book origin where his personality is stripped away, and I can't remember exactly, but because it was a long time ago.
White Vision
is from the comics where Vision's personality is stripped away from him, all right, and he becomes all white and emotionless. All right. And there is a whole storyline of him basically saying, I have no emotions for you, Wanda, even though they were married and everything.
Yeah.
previously, and then all sorts of multiversal things, and then a vision from another multiverse comes in. It's a whole thing, but
yeah, okay.
It's called White Vision in the comics. It's not something that the Twitterverse or Instagram or TikTok made up.
Okay.
He is called White Vision.
So now that we know that White Vision is there, and then we saw that scene where the vision that Wanda created from her mind transferred, copy pasted his memories to White Vision.
Actually, right? He didn't copy paste it. What he said was he unblocked the data. Oh. He's like, the data can't be, you're a carbon base. You're not a machine. You can't just, it's not so easy to just wipe your hard drive.
Right.
Data is still there.
Oh,
all right.
That's true.
And then Vision just unlocked the data. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is slightly different from unlocking memories, all right? Yeah. I think it more means that, like, you know, like watching a TV show, you're seeing something happen, but you don't have a memory of experiencing it, to speak. So now White Vision is flooded by sounds and images of things that he has never done, in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
He needs to process that at an emotional level.
My guess is he's also somewhere in a cabin on a mountain or some shit, like figuring shit out
too. No. It's woods. It's woods.
Somewhere
in a cabin in the woods.
Okay. Somewhere in nature.
Yes. And a cabin. Cabin is a must.
Yeah. So yeah, that's very interesting. We're definitely gonna see more of him. I don't think Wanda and Vision are done.
I don't think so either. And they inferred that in the show at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, we've said goodbye before.
Yeah,
which means that we'll say hello again.
I know. That was so heartbreaking.
It was so sad until you realized that vision was literally a figment of her imagination.
Stop being mean, okay? It's really hard to deal with grief and trauma. But anyway, I'm very excited to see.
I gotta say, anybody who knows me knows I love me a little bit of philosophy, of old-timey philosophy. Yes. That whole discussion about Theseus's ship was, I loved it, because it is.
There's so many good memes from that of mine. It was hilarious.
It's such a good.
But yeah, that was great. That was.
Yeah. They even, right after that, in the most recent episode of Black Lightning on the CW, the title of the episode was Theseus's ship.
Really?
And I actually, before WandaVision, I actually had not come across this specific philosophical exercise. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd come across it in different ways, but I never knew it as the Theseus's ship thing. But if I hadn't seen WandaVision, I would not have understood the title of that episode in Black Lightning.
That's so interesting. Wow.
I mean, it was.
I thought it was so on brand for the two visions to have a philosophical argument.
Yeah.
Rather, like, I mean, they started beating the crap out of each other at first, and then they were like, no, wait, let's discuss this. rational beings.
Let's just say it's the victory that Vision wanted against Ultron that he couldn't get, and he got this time around.
Yes.
In Age of Ultron, he beats up Ultron and then tries to reason with him.
Yeah.
And then it's like, nope, you're way too off the deep end. Mind Stone Blast.
Yeah, it was
boom.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah, anywho, very, very interesting stuff. They touched on so many fascinating things in this show. And I stand corrected, totally proven wrong. I thought it was going to be this corny, cheesy show that they're just doing for a family friendly, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, exactly. But it was great. So much depth. So good.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. But the whole Theseus's ship exercise brings about the whole question of a soul, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all acknowledge that, even if not legally, that Vision is a living, thinking being, but does he have a soul, you know?
Yeah.
And does that, so first of all, you have the question of the existence of the immortal soul.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But also, when Vision died, the first time, second time, I guess second time around, but
who knows? Yeah.
Time stone. But when he died, if he had an immortal soul, did that soul move on to the beyond, or did it hang around and come back into white vision? And now are we just dealing with him rediscovering who he is, or is white vision, even if he does start to show signs of being a living person, is this now a new soul that we are dealing with? I think that these are really deep fundamental questions that should be answered and will not be answered because Disney Plus probably doesn't want to give 10-year-olds a headache.
No, but also it's like with Theseus' ship, we're going to philosophy, blah. Now we're going into religion. We're going into people's values and when it comes to faith and all that. It's deep thing. And I think this show is just going to be posing questions. They're not going to be trying to answer them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, but like you can't answer questions that have been asked continuously and answered continuously and revisited for thousands of years. I think one of the first recorded recorded pieces of exploring the immortal soul is Plato. That's where it doesn't start there. That's just one of the earliest writings we have of somebody thinking about these questions of the immortal soul. Like, I'm sorry, but Kevin Feige, you're not going to answer that. Like, minds greater than anyone alive today have been exploring these questions. And while it's fun to pose them, we're not going to get definitive answers. It's just not going to happen.
Of course not.
But it is fun to think about.
Yeah. I wonder what the writer's room was like basically when they were talking about these scenes and stuff. It must've been fascinating, but anyway. Yeah.
I wonder how much Excedrin they had to take.
Yeah, for real. Anywho, any last thoughts?
I mean, there's so many thoughts with this show, but I think that we should wrap it up because, like we mentioned, people have been asking these questions for thousands of years when we don't have thousands of hours of time right now.
I know, and I got things to do. So, yeah.
Oh, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Cool. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Yeah, this is Grounded Geeks, and we will catch you next time.
Talk to you next time.